Morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, let us look together at Philippians 2. We'll be closing out our study on leadership in the church. It's part 3, and we'll finish up with a look at Epaphroditus, his life and his sacrifice and service for the sake of the church and for the sake of the Apostle Paul. Philippians 2, verses 25 through 30. This is God's Word. But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed, he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him. And not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and I may be less concerned about you. Receive him then in the Lord with all joy, and hold men like him in high regard, because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. The Lord Jesus Christ bore the burden of the cross, and one of the benefits of Jesus Christ bearing the burden of the cross is that we can come together as we are right now to study his word. So let us honor his word and give attention to the word of God. The Christian life is a battle. It is like hand-to-hand combat with sin, with suffering. And because of this reality, believers will face hardships and difficulties in this life. No believer is exempt from suffering. Why? Because Christ suffered. Christ willingly chose to endure the death that all of us, all believers, deserve. And we read of that in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 talks of the suffering servant, as read by Paul this morning, and that he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. He was smitten by God for our rebellion. He was crushed for our iniquities. He bore our griefs and carried our sorrows that were a result of our guilt before the Lord. He did that for us. And if Christ suffered and died for us, we must suffer as well. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 25, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. If Jesus suffered, we who are his disciples cannot expect anything less when we're serving in the gospel ministry. John 15:20, Jesus says, remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, listen, they will persecute you. Jesus adds in verse 21, but all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know the one who sent me. Jesus Christ's suffering and death enable us who are his disciples to commit to live as he lived and to take up our cross and follow him. Jesus commands his followers to do this. Jesus' command reveals to us that it is not a secret that we will suffer. It is not a secret that you will suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. And it is not always in ministry. You may not always be out proclaiming the gospel, but you may be in the home or at work, and the pain of sin that still remains in us will cause us to experience suffering. And because of all of this, we should not be surprised. We should embrace it. Paul tells the Philippian believers in Philippians 1 verses 29 through 30, he says, "For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer." Not just to suffer. Not just to suffer for the sake of suffering, but to suffer for his sake. Verse 30, experiencing the same conflict. This is the Apostle Paul, which you saw in me. And we know that the Apostle Paul suffered mightily in the gospel ministry for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the gospel. And he is encouraging the Philippian believers to do the same. He says, you have, you're experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here in me. And so Paul himself acknowledges the reality of suffering for the gospel. But he does something that should encourage us. He identifies that suffering is a gift from God. That may seem contrary to you, but it is. It is God's gift to us. The way we endure suffering can be an encouragement to other believers. That is a gift that God gives for the sake of others. That we can suffer in a way that we become encouragement for others when they see us go through suffering. And not only that, it's an opportunity for us, if we're suffering, to be served by other believers. That, too, is a gift from God. So today we'll be looking at Epaphroditus. His life will be an example for us in what it looks like to be a source of encouragement and to live sacrificially and what it looks like to humbly and lovingly submit to God in service for God in the gospel ministry for the sake of Jesus Christ. So who was Epaphroditus? Epaphroditus lived in Philippi. He may have been a Gentile who was converted from paganism. And we can see that in his name. His name means loved one, belonging to, or favored by Aphrodite. The irony of this is that we will see that he is now going to be favored not by Aphrodite, but by the Apostle Paul. Epaphroditus, he seems to be closely connected with the church at Philippi. He doesn't appear to be a prominent man in the church, because this is the only place we will find him mentioned in Scripture, in Philippians. He must have been a trustworthy man, because the Philippians sent him to deliver a financial gift and to minister to Paul in prison on behalf of the church. And this journey is that Epaphroditus would have to make to Rome from Philippi would be approximately 700 miles. You don't trust anybody to travel 700 miles with money. He was traveling with money to go to Rome in order to help meet the needs of the Apostle Paul. You don't trust anybody just to do that. And I guarantee you, not just anybody volunteer for that kind of ministry. This reveals to us that ministry and God's call to serve one another may not be easy. It may not be an easy task. It may be something that everybody is not volunteering to do. But because of what Jesus Christ has done, we should be willing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake in any manner he chooses to place us. What many of us do is that's not my lane. That's not the Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus, he is not mentioned with the Apostle Paul and Timothy in chapter 1. Chapter 1, Paul says, Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ. Epaphroditus' name is not mentioned there. But yet, Paul here, he designate part of his letter to let the church at Philippi know exactly how Epaphroditus has served him and how Epaphroditus was longing to be with them. Beloved, that should encourage us. Epaphroditus he's just like all of us, any of us. He's an average layman. He is not an apostle, even though he's going to be called, in a sense, an apostle. He's going to be called that because he is sent by the church. He is not commissioned by Christ. This should encourage us. Epaphroditus is a normal man or a woman. He is a man, but we're speaking, in a broader sense. It can apply to any man, any woman, any child that is in Jesus Christ. And you can serve in the same way. That's the exciting thing. In the same way that Epaphroditus, and it wasn't designated. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. It wasn't designated exactly what he would do. The Philippian church sent him to take a financial gift. But we're going to see how Paul is going to give some descriptions of what he did while he was with the Apostle Paul. He goes above and beyond. He doesn't just do what they sent him to do. He goes above and beyond what he was called to do. I don't mean to be too dogmatic on that, but I think we can get that out of this passage. So look closely. Look closely at Epaphroditus and what Paul says about him. Let's look at verse 25. We see here, and what we learn here is that Paul is sending him back to Philippi. He is sending him back before Timothy. Timothy is still in Rome with the Apostle Paul, serving the Apostle Paul, meeting his needs. And Paul here says that, he says here in verse 25, he says, but I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus. He says, I thought it necessary that Epaphroditus should come to you. What? Why? Why did Paul see it necessary? Had Epaphroditus failed the Apostle Paul? Had he in some kind of way not performed his duty, and the Apostle Paul is disappointed with him and he is sending him back with his tail tucked between his legs because he has failed the Apostle Paul? Is that why he's going back? Is that why Paul is saying it's necessary? I thought it necessary to send him back? No. Notice the terms that Paul uses here to describe Epaphroditus. And this is going to reveal a lot about the Apostle Paul's leadership. I said last Sunday that an effective leader makes everyone else better. Everyone else that's under his leadership better. And I think we can see reflections of this under the Apostle Paul. Epaphroditus, he comes out to Rome, and look how Paul described his ministry to him. And all of these show that Epaphroditus he worked well with the Apostle Paul. He worked well with the Apostle Paul in ministry. Paul calls him first my brother, which is a term that speaks of Paul's deep affection for Epaphroditus. And it also reveals to us that he is loved by Paul as a spiritual brother in Christ. This term is a mark of friendship, of a deep friendship in Christ. And Paul goes on, he adds that he is a fellow worker. Paul refers to him as a fellow twice. He says he's a fellow worker and a fellow soldier. And this shows that Epaphroditus did more than just bring the Philippian, the gift that the Philippian church was sending. He also showed himself to be a fellow worker or a co-worker who served with Paul in ministry while he was there in Rome. Wow. Paul viewed him as one who labored with him in the gospel ministry. Remember, he's only going there. And he says this, and we're going to read this here in a few minutes, Philippians 4, 18 and 19. He's only going there to take a financial gift. Look at what Paul said. He is my fellow. Now, we can assume Paul is not lying. Right? Paul is not lying. He is the Apostle Paul, who under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is penning this letter to the Philippian believers. And so what he is saying here about Epaphroditus is true. Paul is not mistaken. He is my brother. He is a fellow worker. And not only that, he is a fellow soldier with Paul. He fought with Paul on the front lines of the spiritual battle. They faced the same conflict and hardship in ministry together. He stood shoulder to shoulder with the Apostle Paul, despite the danger of being associated with the Apostle Paul. And what I mean by that, if Paul is under, if Paul is going to be put to death, what does that mean for those who are there serving the Apostle Paul? And we're talking about Nero. And Nero didn't play. He didn't play with, we'll see that. You know what I mean? If you know church history, you know later on Nero didn't play. As a matter of fact, he used to, at one point, he took Christians and he had tar poured over them and lit them on fire and put them in a garden just for fun. So that's what we're talking about. And Timothy and Epaphroditus is right there with the Apostle Paul serving him. They're not in prison. They're right there serving the Apostle Paul. And Paul says of Epaphroditus, he's not there hiding. He says he's my brother. He's my fellow worker. He's my fellow soldier. He's right there with me. He ain't hiding. He's not ashamed. And that was his relationship to the Apostle Paul. And not only that, not only did he go and serve the Apostle Paul, he was still desired to be connected with the church at Philippi. Notice what Paul goes on and says about his relationship with the church at Philippi. He calls him messenger. And this term carries the meaning of one who is commissioned and sent. Epaphroditus was commissioned and sent by the church with a specific task to do. He is not like the Apostle Paul, who is commissioned by Christ, but he is sent. He is a sent one with responsibility by the church. And lastly, Paul calls him minister. And this word shows that the Philippian believers, that the church specifically sent Epaphroditus to Paul to care for his needs with the monetary gift that they sent. And if you would look over in Philippians 4, verses 18 and 19, we'll see this. Look over in chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. And once again, notice what it is that Paul received, which will reveal to us why it is that Epaphroditus was sent. Verse 18, but I have received everything in full and have abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, a sacrifice well pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I'm going to park right here for a minute. Paul said, through Epaphroditus, he said that I am amply supplied. But he adds a little bit more to that. He says, I am amply supplied. But then he tells them, just like I am amply supplied, God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. What's happening here? God used Epaphroditus as a means through which he met Paul's need. Y'all hear that? And not only that, Paul, because Epaphroditus has served him in that way, Paul now lifts up Epaphroditus as an example of those whom God uses to accomplish his work. Wow. I mean, I can't say nothing else outside of that. Epaphroditus was used by God to meet Paul's need. And not only that, because of this, then Epaphroditus becomes one who is penned in the pages of Scripture as a one to whom we can look to as an example of how to serve others and the importance of serving others. Wow. And this term minister also, it means that the church expected him to remain in Rome to care for the apostle. To care for the apostle Paul. This man is, once again, he is trustworthy. Just think about that. That's like us saying we're going to send somebody. Let's see. We're going to send Jesse and Joshua on foot to Oklahoma City with the gift of the offering to take the Northwest Bible Church to help them in need. Can you imagine that? They have to be trustworthy because it's hot out there right now. They have to be trusted to know that they're going to do whatever is necessary to accomplish that mission. These are the people that these are the kind of people that God is making us. He is making all of us, and particularly those who are put on display. We're talking about deacons. We're talking about the elders. We're talking about pastors. We're talking about worship leaders. We're talking about the ushers. Those who God specifically have given a burden to do this, but this applies to everybody. To all of us. To me, Epaphroditus, I'm being dogmatic again, he would have been the type of guy that you would consider to be a future elder. And we don't know if he was an elder or not. It doesn't say. But if he wasn't, he'd be that man. Or a deacon. Or anybody who was needed to serve. Epaphroditus would be that man. Are you that man or woman? Are you that man or woman that can be trusted with ministry for the sake of Jesus Christ through the ministry here at Sovereign Grace Baptist Church? Are you that person? And not only that, Paul goes on, he says, Epaphroditus was, he is self-sacrificed. Look at verse 26, he says, but he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. He not only was, you know, he wasn't one dimensional. You know, people say you can't do two things at one time. You know, you can't chew gum and walk at the same time. Epaphroditus wasn't that man. You know, it reminds me of in field artillery when a gunner when it has a sight inside the gun, who has to take the sight and line it onto a aiming reference make sure we are shooting in the right direction. A gunner, this is old school gunnery, not the new guys. New guys got a computer they push and it does everything. Old school guy, you got to be in there like this. Two hands. You can't be one dimension. You got to be working the elevation and you got to be working the deflection that goes across like this. You got to be able to do both of them. And you're in there working. You're doing both. Set, ready. That's the man that you want. Right? That's the way we should be. You can't, man, I just only can do one thing at a time. That's why it needs to be of God's grace. We'll talk about that later too. If it's by God's grace, you can do whatever God is calling you to do. And it can be a multitude of things. And so this brother, this fellow soldier, fellow worker, messenger, he not only was there to care for the Apostle Paul, but he longed for fellowship with other believers. Not only did he care for Paul, he cared about the Philippians themselves. Paul said he was sending him back. This is why Paul said, I'm sending him back, not because I'm disappointed, but because he was longing for you all. He was homesick. There was no disconnect between him and the church. And this verb long here means to, it's a very strong term. It denotes You know, it denotes having a strong feeling. A strong feeling. And it is used in Philippians 1 and 8, where Paul says, talks about his deep affection toward the Philippian believers. Philippians 1 and 8, Paul says, "For God is my witness for how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus." Epaphroditus, like Paul and like Timothy, had the same deep affection toward the Philippian believers in the church at Philippi, just as Christ did. That's a ministry team for you right there. And not only that, he showed genuine concern. And what was Epaphroditus' concern? He was distressed because, as Paul says, because you had heard that he was sick. Distress here, it appears in the Gospels, and it is used of Jesus Christ and the anxiety that he was experiencing in Gethsemane before his arrest. And this is important. Notice that Epaphroditus' distress is not because of his own health. He is worried that the illness was causing anxiety to his friends at Philippi. He's not worried about himself. He is saying, I'm ready to go back because I know the church is going to be where I know that they're worried. And Epaphroditus had a desire to calm his brothers and sisters' anxiety. And this exemplifies what Paul writes in the opening of Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4, where Paul says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit." He said he exhorts the Philippians to look not only to his own or your own interest, but also to the interests of others. Epaphroditus is doing that. And not only that, he risked his life for the sake of Christ. Look at verse 27. "For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow." Epaphroditus was a man who suffered while he was serving others for Christ. And according to Paul, he became critically ill. And his sickness, according to Paul, almost resulted in his death. But notice he says, "But God had mercy on him." God intervened and spared Epaphroditus from death. Not because he deserved it, but because God was merciful. And this reveals to us two things. It reveals to us that healing is a mercy from God. It is not something we deserve. When we are healed and when God restores us to health, it is because God has had mercy on us. And not only does it show to us that healing is a mercy, but it shows us another important thing, that sometimes when we're sick, it is not always the consequence. It's not the result of our sin. God doesn't, you know, this Epaphroditus, his sickness did not come about because he was sinning in some kind of way. God had a different purpose for Epaphroditus' sickness. And only God knows the purpose in which he sends affliction and sickness and illnesses into our life. He's the only one who knows why those things come upon us. And notice that this miraculous healing was not only for Epaphroditus' benefit, but it was also for Paul's as well. Paul said that God spared him sorrow upon sorrow. What did Paul mean? Paul said God did not allow him to have even greater sorrow to go along with the sorrow associated with his imprisonment. Paul goes on, verse 30, he says, "Because he came close to death." Drop down to verse 30. "Because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. Epaphroditus served for the sake of Christ and risked his life to the point of death. And this expression, to death or to the point of death, is found in only one other place in the Pauline letters. It is found, this is good. This is found in Philippians 2 and 8. And it is used in reference to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here it says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient, notice, to the point of death, even death on a cross. And this reveals something important to us, that Epaphroditus, like Paul and like Timothy, reflect the selflessness and the devotion, selflessness and the devotion of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were reflecting, they were displaying the disposition, the same disposition that Jesus Christ had. Wow. And Paul goes on, he says that for the work of Christ, he said that he's risked his life to complete what was deficient in your service to me. John Calvin notes on this verse, he says that, quote, he would rather, speaking of Epaphroditus, he would rather be negligent as to health than to be deficient in duty, end quote. Epaphroditus, he was imitating his Lord. He was imitating the attitude of the Apostle Paul. And remember, Paul said this of himself. He said in Philippians 1 and 20, he said, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Epaphroditus had that same mindset. He had the same mindset that the Apostle Paul had. He had the same mindset that Timothy had. He had the same mindset, most importantly, that Christ had. And Paul's response to this sacrifice and service of Epaphroditus reveals to us the importance of us having a Christ-centered response to our circumstances. God used Epaphroditus to be a blessing to Paul in many ways. His servant attitude had so impacted the Apostle Paul that Paul included his testimony in this letter. Don't miss that, beloved. The Apostle Paul was so moved by the Holy Spirit that he included Epaphroditus' testimony in Scripture to instruct us, to be of a benefit to us, and to be an example to us. Little old Epaphroditus. And as I close, Epaphroditus was of good standing. Paul says in verse 28 and verse 29, we're in here, therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly, so that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less concerned about you. Paul says, therefore I have sent him all the more eagerly. And so this, he's going to lead us to the second reason why he is sending Epaphroditus back. The first reason is that he wants Epaphroditus, was that he could ease the anxiety of the Philippian believers. But then also, he says that I am sending him back so that when he when you see him again, you may rejoice and may be less concerned, and that I may be less concerned about you. Paul shows that he is not only concerned for Epaphroditus, but as we read through chapter 1, particularly, that he is also concerned for the Philippian believers. And Paul knows that they are distressed. He knows that they are anxiously longing to hear news of what happened to Epaphroditus. And Paul wants to replace the anxious concern of the Philippians with rejoicing. He knows that they're going to be so happy when Epaphroditus gets back to them. He knows that. And so Paul doesn't want to deny them the joy. He says this joy. He says, verse 29, receive him then in the Lord with all joy. Men like him should be received with joy in the Lord. Paul wants Epaphroditus to receive an appropriate welcome when he returns. The Philippians are to receive Epaphroditus. And in what manner are they to receive him? Receive him then in the Lord. Receive him as one who is in Christ, one who is united to Christ, just as you are. And you're to receive him in the Lord with all joy. And this is not something that they're to do grudgingly. All right, if I have to, if you say so, Lord, you say I'm supposed to love everybody. I guess that's what I'm supposed to do. You say I'm supposed to love. Well, I guess I'm going to do it. That's not the attitude that Paul is after. And that shouldn't be the attitude we should have toward one another. He says, receive him in the Lord with all joy. And then he says, and hold men like him in high regard. Men like him are worthy of honor for their faithfulness. High regard here means to give someone a high reputation. And that he should be highly respected. His dedication, his service, his loyalty revealed that he was a noble man and that he was a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is an example of what sacrificial service looks like. And beloved, we should model our lives after him. So I want to ask you, how do you react to your circumstances? How you react to your circumstances and can impact how others react. Regardless of what happened to him, Epaphroditus was willing to go anywhere, do anything, pay any price in ministry for Christ. His agenda was not set by him. He did whatever was needed for the sake of Christ. And we must remember that both belief and suffering are granted to us by the Lord. And therefore, because of this, because it's granted to us, we must look at ways in which we can mature during times of suffering so that we can continue to boldly proclaim the gospel. And beloved, this is not just in areas where you're strong. If there's something that comes to us just like this, that's an area where we're strong in it. And I can tell you, beloved, you may not be dependent upon the grace of God in order to perform whatever that task is. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, he says, and he said of God saying to him when he's praying to God about this thorn in the flesh, this whatever it was, whether it was another person, whether it was suffering. And God tells Paul, he says, my grace is sufficient for you. He says, for power. Whose power? God's power is perfected in weakness. And then Paul goes on, he said, most gladly, because Paul embraced this idea of weakness, and of vulnerability, of incapability, of doing something in and of himself. He said, most gladly, therefore, I rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults and with distress and with persecution, with difficulties. Not just for the sake of doing it, but for Christ's sake. He says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. He writes in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 9, but we have this treasure, the gospel, in earthen vessels. That's how he saw himself. He wasn't puffed up. He wasn't prideful. He said, we have this gospel in clay vessels, earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Is that your desire today? Do you desire for God to take you and use you in ways that you could have never imagined? Do you want to be like Epaphroditus? Do you want to serve like Epaphroditus? Sure, it's going to take some sweat. Sure, it's going to take sacrifice. Sure, it's going to demand of you to go outside of your comfort zone. Sure, it's going to demand that you do things that you have never done before. But in those moments, I can tell you, by experience, God's grace is sufficient. It is right there to enable you, to help you, to get you through those tough times, to enable you to stay focused on the mission and not go AWOL. Amen. Father, we need a reminder. We need to be reminded, because we are so tempted to look at what we're not capable of doing. We're so tempted of making excuses. Father, help us to be bold and courageous, and not doubt the opportunity, not doubt you when you give us opportunities to serve you. Father, give us discernment, as the Apostle Paul prayed for the Philippian believers. Give us discernment. Give us true knowledge, biblical knowledge of ourselves, of you, of our situations, of the world around us, so that we can step like Peter, when you commanded him to do something that was unfamiliar to him, as an analogy for us, when you told him to step out upon the sea, to come to you. No doubt Peter was filled with fear and worry because he had fished at sea all his life. And many of us, we have lived in certain situations and certain circumstances all our life. And it is all that we're used to. We're used to thinking this a certain way and seeing you in a certain light. And Father, you want us to go beyond that, to to go beyond the limitations of our presuppositions and the pre-understanding that we have formed in our minds. Father, you desire your people to shine as lights. And that means that it's going to take your work of grace in our lives in order to do that. So that we can shine our light in good times, and we can shine the light in bad times, in times of suffering, in times of disappointment, in times of rejection, because this brings you glory. And when we walk in that way, we honor Christ. We honor the gospel. And just as we're going to lift up and remember Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, that he was bruised and he was crushed, and that he shed his blood for us. Father, help us to live in such a way that shows that we really believe that. That we really believe that Jesus Christ died bodily and that he bled for us. And that we really believe that we're to give ourselves to you totally because Christ gave himself totally. Oh, it may seem to be foolish. And we may, in our own mind, think that we look like fools. But help us to remember Epaphroditus, who was on the journey, who got ill, and yet he completed his mission. And Father, you honored him by allowing the Apostle Paul to pen his testimony in the pages of Scripture. And Father, we know that we won't have our names penned in this Bible, but we know that if we are able, that we are able to live in this way because our names are written in heaven. For your sake and for your glory. Father, thank you. Thank you for men like Epaphroditus and Timothy and the Apostle Paul, whose lives are poured out upon the pages of Scripture so that we can see and learn from them. May we be good stewards of this knowledge that you have given us in your word here today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.